Live from the Civic Media World Headquarters in Madison, Wisconsin, it's the Todd Albaugh Show. And now, pursuing truth wherever it may lead, here's your host, Todd Albaugh.
Good morning across the Civic Media Radio. Try that again, Todd. Take two. Good morning across the Civic Media Radio Network and streaming worldwide in the Civic Media app. This is Todd Albaugh. It is the 27th of February, 2023. Well, at least you know it's live. It isn't pre-recorded. I've only said that for going on 4 months now. You'd think I would get it right without having to stumble over it. But maybe
The date changes.
I think maybe I'm feeling just a little bit of jet lag yet. You know, because you're in Seattle for a couple of days and it's 2 hours, you know, 2 hour time difference. So I was trying to not fall into that Western time zone difference, but the Pacific time zone, but my body kind of, I don't know. I was waking up at like 6 in the morning. Beautiful sunrise, by the way, in Seattle over the weekend. But made my way back here yesterday. Was in Seattle helping out the youngest godson get settled. And I'd been to Seattle a couple of times for coffee events and once for a state legislature convention. But first time, I never kind of left Seattle proper and gone into the suburbs. And across the bay, I mean, you hear about all this natural beauty in Seattle. And, you know, I spent my time downtown, which is a cool big city. But holy cow, you go outside of Seattle proper a little ways, in the parks and the water. They have this Norwegian village. I felt like I was back in Western Wisconsin. They have this Norwegian village. Super cool, right on the water. It's spectacular. So excited for my youngest godson, Jason, to be out there. Going to miss him terribly. But, you know, gives me an excuse to fly out. Maybe we'll do the show from Seattle sometime this summer.
That'd be pretty cool.
That'd be fun on the coast there. Talk to some of the fine men and women in our nation's military, in the Navy, and also explore Bigfoot. Very big out in Seattle. they play that up. You can buy Bigfoot T-shirts, Bigfoot cups. They make a big deal out of Bigfoot up there.
I wouldn't have guessed that Seattle would be into it.
Yeah, I guess allegedly that's the home of Bigfoot, like the Northwest woods up
there. Yeah, I mean, just Seattle specifically. I guess that's where all the tourists are, so it makes sense. But
right.
Seattle's not in the middle of the woods.
No, Seattle itself is not. No, you have to kind of go either north or south or west or east of Seattle. So Jason's going to be across the bay over in Bremerton, and then kind of you have the Olympia National Park right there too. So in the mountain, you look off, you see Mount Rainier, and you see other mountains. I mean, snow-capped mountains, absolutely spectacular. It's a great area to be from. And you know, you get the sea vibe as well, right? All these boats, and kind of old boats, newer yachts, but just, you know, that whole water and the boat people thing. It's a whole other culture, boat people. Funny, fantastic. Going to be a great time for him. So anyway, back to Wisconsin today. I actually came back last night, but still suffering perhaps just a little bit of jet lag. Mr. Aaron Zommer is on the board for us this morning in our final hour, number three. Interesting, isn't it, Aaron, to take a dive down some of these issues and find out what they really mean?
Yeah, definitely.
So gotta keep people abreast and informed. Anyway, we'll keep you informed of some weather at 9 minutes past the hour of 10 o'clock. Weather, hazardous weather outlook if you are in the RC, Southwest Wisconsin, WRCE, in Richland Center specifically. News from the center, breezy, windy today, and rainy. If you're in the RC, 100% chance of rain today, maybe up to an inch of rain, which could cause some localized flooding. So be aware of that. Then for tonight, mostly cloudy. By the way, a high of 38 degrees in Richland Center today. Mostly cloudy tonight, a low of 26. And tomorrow, Tuesday, partly sunny and a high of 43. Moving on to Wausau, WXCO, Bull Falls Radio. Snow showers today, a winter storm warning until 6 tonight. Not so much for a lot of snow, maybe 2 inches of snow in Wausau today, but it's going to be the ice, maybe 0.2 inch of ice accumulation, which could cause some havoc in terms of electric power lines or trees in certain areas. Certainly it's going to cause havoc on the roadways as well. Then for tonight, snow showers likely early, then cloudy, a low of 23. Tomorrow, Tuesday, mostly sunny and a high of 37. in Wausau. Moving over to WLAK, Lake Air Radio in Amory today. Winter storm warning until 6 p.m. as well. 90% chance of for precipitation today. Going to be that freezing rain once again. Accumulations of ice could be up to 0.3 inches possible. Not a whole lot of actual snow. It's going to be more of the ice accumulation today. Then for tonight, a slight chance of snow. Maybe, you know, a half an inch or so of snow tonight. But again, not a lot of snow accumulation. More of that freezing rain and icing in Amory today. A high today of 35 in Amory, a low tonight of 18 degrees. Then for tomorrow, mostly sunny, then a slight chance of snow and a high of 35 in Amory. A couple of headlines, what you need to know. COVID-19, the U.S. Department of Energy has assessed that the COVID-19 pandemic most likely came from a laboratory leak in China. New assessment further adds the divide in the U.S. government over whether the pandemic began in China in 2019 as the result of a lab leak or whether it emerged naturally. Various intelligence agencies have been split on the matter. Quote, right now, there is not a lot of definitive answer that has emerged from the intelligence community on this question, National Security Advisor Jake Sullivan told CNN on Sunday, noting that President Joe Biden has put resources into getting to the bottom of the origin question. The U.S. began exploring the possibility that COVID-19 spread in a lab as early as April 2020, though intelligence officials have said lack of cooperation from Beijing has made it difficult to attain answers. And President Biden's student loan forgiveness plan goes before the Supreme Court tomorrow. Millions of student loan borrowers could see up to $20,000 of the debt canceled depending upon the outcome of the hearing. Come back, take a look at Ukraine 1 year after the Russian invasion, after this on the Todd Allball Show. Temperature sign, 15 minutes past the hour of 10 o'clock. Welcome back to the Todd Allball Show on the Civic Media Radio Network. Glad that you are with us today. And remember if you're driving outside of WRCE in Richland Center or WXCO in Wausau or WLAK in Amory, you can still listen to us each and every morning. Be one of the cool kids. Look at your smartphone and download the Civic Media app. That's right. Just go to your smartphone, type in Civic Media, C-I-V-I-C, Civic Media. It's free. Takes you less than a minute. Best deal around. Open it up, then hit other stations. I'm going to say other stations on the left-hand side of the phone screen. You scroll down through the stations until you get to WRCE, News from the Center. Click on that. Open it up, and you can take Mr. Zommers and I with you seven days work week, Aaron. You can take us 5 days a week, Monday through Friday, 8 until 11. That's what I meant to say. And yes, you can be with us each and every day on the Civic Media app.
I mean, there are worse things. If I didn't like my job, right? I would be like, oh, no. But I like this job, so, you know, that'd be fine.
We're working 7 days a week. I mean, we really are. We're looking for things to bring you. We were on the air with you 5 days a week, but the other two, we're still working for you, still trying to bring you the story, still trying to pursue truth wherever it may lead, which brings us to our next topic this morning, and that is Ukraine and how it relates to us here in Wisconsin. Great posting by Resolute Square. Resolute Square, if you're not familiar, is kind of a subsidiary, kind of a spinoff from the Lincoln Project. And of course, we have Trygve Olsen, one of the senior advisors of the Lincoln Project, on this show every Wednesday in the 8 o'clock hour. A couple of weeks ago, honored enough to have Rick Wilson, the founder of the Lincoln Project, on this show. Lincoln Project, for those who might not know, basically a group of disaffected Republicans like myself, who left the Republican Party. I did so back in 2011. Most of these guys did after Trump became president in 2016. And said, look, you know, kind of had an epiphany. And said, look, this is not where we want to go. And we realize that we're partly responsible for this and we want to turn it around. We have to stop Trump. We have to save democracy. Also, I had some Democrats like Joe Trippi, a longtime national Democratic strategist, join the Lincoln Project as well. But predominantly Republicans who left the party to start an anti-Trump movement. They have a spinoff now called Resolute Square, R-E-S-O-L-U-T-E Square, Resolute Square. And the idea of Resolute Square is to provide a journalistic outlet specifically that tells the truth. And it's a little controversial in the sense that, you know, I went to UW-Platteville. They don't have what's considered a proper journalism school. Like UW-Madison has a J school, they call it, or journalism school, where you go specifically to be a journalist. I went to UW-Platteville's communication program, broadcasting. The official title was Communications, Broadcasting Technology and Management with Performance and Production Emphasis. That was my major. It's a mouthful, isn't it? You need a communication degree just to say that. It was a fancy way of saying radio and TV. And so a part of that is learning AP style. I was in the great Jim Cerno's class, learning how to write in AP style. Also, journalistic standards, how to be a reporter, how to stay true to facts. And part of being a good journalist, a fair journalist, for years has been to make sure that you offer your viewers, your listeners, your readers, both sides of the story. All right? Because there's two sides to every story, as they say. And so you want to make sure you weren't being perceived as favoring one side or the other, that you're just going to, as they say, report the facts, ma'am, and let people decide for themselves. But over time, our news organizations have morphed into opinion and entertainment companies as well. Fox News literally has a small disclaimer at the beginning of many of their programs, like Sean Hannity, that says this is an entertainment program. But they pawn themselves off as journalists. Here at Civic Media, there's kind of two blocks, I would say. And I participated in both. When I'm on the air with our news director, Terry Bell, doing election night coverage or a special event, I put on my journalism hat and I call it straight down the center. Exactly as I, you know, trying to give just the straight facts. This program every day is a talk show. Don't make any bones about it. We take your calls. We talk about things. I offer my analysis and opinion. So the facts that I report, I put on my journalism hat and say we're not going to make things up in order to get you to believe a certain way, because I think that destroys our credibility. But this is a talk show. So you have the news organization, Civic Media News, and then you have Civic Media, kind of the talk show / informative entertainment side. We kind of divide that out. There are places like Fox that don't differentiate. They try to get you to believe that everything that they do is journalism. And brilliant marketing and strategy, right? We report, you decide. That may have been kind of true at the beginning of Fox News, but again, it morphed into this entertainment. And this was borne out a couple of weeks ago, right? In that federal trial that we talked about with Dominion voting machines, where they sued Fox News and said, you know, look, you defamed us. You had malice. In other words, you knew that our voting machines were accurate, and yet you went on the air and said they were not. That's the definition of malice, legally. And it came out in the depositions and the sworn statements that people like Tucker Carlson and Sean Hannity and Laura Ingraham and others, right up to Murdoch, were saying to each other in texts and emails and other ways that they knew that Trump lost the 2020 election. Knew it. Admitted it to each other. And yet they didn't want to report that because they were afraid they would lose their base viewership and thus the ratings and thus less money for themselves. Anyway, I went down a little bit of a tangent there. By the way, if you want to listen to more tangents, be with our friends Luke and Brian at 2 o'clock this afternoon. Luke Mathers and Brian Kelly, dueling tangents right here on the Civic Media Radio Network, with the exception of WXCO, where at 2 o'clock you can listen to the great Chad Holmes and the Chad Holmes Show, all that is local and regional in central Wisconsin. But in any case, that's kind of the state of journalism today, all right? It's kind of a blurring of lines. And so over at the Lincoln Project, they started this spinoff called Resolute Square that just unabashedly upfront said, look, we're not going to give you both sides when the other side is a lie. It doesn't do any of us any good to say, okay, here's one side of Ukraine. Now let's give you the other side and give the other side a chance to say that this was the Ukraine who brought this on themselves, that, you know, all these untrue, just factually untrue things. That goes beyond the pale of offering the other side. That, in many people's opinion, is endorsing and spreading lies and propaganda. One of the greatest people that I've ever seen this done well was CBS's Scott Pelley when he was the anchor of the CBS News during the 2016 elections. And they bring on a story about then-candidate Donald Trump. He make wild assertions and tell lies in the story. And then it would come back to Pelley at the anchor desk, and he would have it right there on the piece of paper. He said, now, in that report, while Mr. Trump says this, in actuality, according to blank, 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 this is what happened. To me, that's really great journalism. And that's the pattern that I try to live up to for you guys, is to bring you stories and then say, these are actually the facts. And then, yes, I'll give you my opinion many times. My opinion doesn't always mean I'm right. It's my opinion, just like you have yours. And if you want to call in with your opinion, give us a call. 715-388-7155. Again, area code 715-388-7155. So that's the background, kind of the setup, and went a little long there. But this is Resolute Square, this offshoot, truly just kind of a news organization of the Lincoln Project. And the title is Defeating Fascism. From Yes We Can to Now We Must, as Putin's fascist forces work to terrorize Ukraine, instead of finding condemnation, they find collaboration from America's right. We must combat fascism now, including the right media's propagandists like Tucker Carlson. The article begins, genocide. It's a word not to be used lightly or liberally. The United Nations defines it as, quote, a crime committed with the intent to destroy a national, ethnic, racial, or religious group in whole or in part, unquote. In the year since Vladimir Putin ordered Russian troops with no provocation to invade Ukraine, he has shown a little subtlety in his words and even less in his actions. He has directed his military to bomb schools, apartment buildings, hospitals, community centers, and playgrounds, and slaughter Ukrainians, young and old, in villages, tossing their bodies en masse onto unmarked graves or just left in the streets. So it needs to be said with the same lack of subtlety and zero diplomacy. Vladimir Putin is a war criminal leading a terrorist state that is perpetrating crimes against humanity in a genocide against the people of Ukraine. And yet that seems so very difficult for many in the Republican Party to say. Even now, even after the deaths or wounding of more than 100,000 troops and in excess of 30,000 civilians killed. While we're at it, let's remove the language that makes it easier to write about, read about, and talk about the deaths. They aren't human assets or civilians, troops or casualties of war. They are people, dead people, who are dead for no reason other than the fact that, say it with me now, Vladimir Putin is a war criminal leading a terrorist state and is perpetrating crimes against humanity and a genocide against the people of Ukraine. Resolute Square article. Going to come back and talk about it more in just a minute. These are the kind of things that need to be said. Because we have a party in this state, or this state in this country, one of them, the Republicans, who used to have a leader named Ronald Reagan, who used to travel to the gates of communism and say, Mr. Gorbachev, tear down this wall. We used to take on the Russians and the communists and the Soviet Union, and now we have people like Marjorie Taylor Greene who are snuggling up to them. A terrorist state. Back with more on your phone calls after this. This is the Todd Allball Show, and this is Civic Media. The Todd Allball Show. It is now 10:33. Great song for you there on a Monday, the 27th of February, 2023. If you are driving today, do so carefully. Richland Center area, you may get up to an inch of rain today. Inch of rain in Richland Center today, as it's going to be wet there. Be aware, with the ground still frozen, that may make some locally isolated flooded areas. Some roadways may have some rain on it. Remember, do not drive through large flooded areas. Always turn around. Has to be said each and every year this time of year. Turn around, do not drown. Live by those words. Also up in Wausau and Amory, Wisconsin today, look for a winter storm warning, particularly for ice. There's lots of ice happening, or not lots, but up to 2 or 3 tenths of an inch of freezing rain and ice accumulation in Wausau and Amory areas today, which makes driving difficult at best. So be prepared for that. Going to clear off, though, for tomorrow for most of us. So that is good news. Breaking news we told you about earlier in the show. A few more details now. According to ESPN this morning, Mark Lazary agrees to sell the Milwaukee Bucks for $3.5 billion. Milwaukee Bucks co-owner Mark Lazary has reached an agreement to sell his portion of the Bucks to the Cleveland Browns owners, Jimmy and Dee Haslam, for a $3.5 billion valuation, sources told ESPN. The deal, which sources said is still pending league approval, would be the second highest valuation ever for an NBA team, only being surpassed by the $4 billion purchase of the Phoenix Suns that was completed earlier this month. It would be the third highest for any American professional sports team, also trailing the $4.65 billion the Denver Broncos were sold for last June. The Bucks sale is just the latest in a series of escalating prices for NBA teams in recent years. So again, the headline this morning, majority owner Mark Lazary selling his share of the Milwaukee Bucks for $3.5 billion to Jimmy and Dee Haslam, who also own the Cleveland Browns, among other sports properties. We shall see how that affects all things Milwaukee Bucks. Getting back to the story this morning that we've been reading from Resolute Square. Resolute Square is an offshoot of the Lincoln Project, which is comprised mainly of disaffected former Republicans with a few Democrats sprinkled in, whose main objective is to save democracy, who looked at Trump and Trumpism as an existential threat to democracy. That is to say that if Trump were continued into power, and that if the Trumpism were continued to affect American politics, it would mean that democracy could very well disappear from our form of government. Yes, we have a representative democracy in our Congress, but democracy as a whole is what we live by. So talking about this one-year anniversary of Russia's invasion of Ukraine, and the Resolute Square article talking very directly, not mincing words, about what this is, and about Vladimir Putin, and about the atrocities that he has committed in Ukraine. And the fact that Fox News and many Republicans, particularly the leadership of the Republican Party, have bought into this whole notion that it's Ukraine's fault somehow, and that Putin really isn't a threat. The point of this article is that if we don't stop fascism here, it creeps in to Europe. And once it hits NATO, we are in. Because we are a member of NATO, and an attack on one is an attack on all. That is the motto of NATO. Continuing on in this Resolute Square article, it's important to remember that many of those people who comprise the troops killed, that is in Ukraine, the number were not, repeat, not active duty military at the time of Russia's unprovoked invasion. They were farmers, shopkeepers, bakers, factory workers, and all the other normal walks of life we have here. They were sons, daughters, mothers, fathers, sisters, brothers, and friends. Just regular folks doing regular things until their lives, communities, and countries were shattered by Russian rockets, bombs, and gunfire beginning 1 year ago. Regular folks who became part of the resistance, some with little training and modestly equipped to fight an enemy prepared for war and larger many times over. And the civilians? Well, they were old men and women, children on playgrounds, babies in the arms of terrified parents, doctors and nurses, working to put people and lives back together at Putin's bullets and explosions had torn apart. This article in Resolute Square continues. Tucker Carlson and so many other of the right media's propagandists still shill for Putin and Russia. Carlson is so deep in the Russian tank that he continues to be a regular figure on Russian state television. Did you know that? Do you watch Fox? You listen to Tucker Carlson? He's a regular figure on Russian state television, controlled by Vladimir Putin and the communists. Think about that for a minute. Do you really trust a guy who appears on Russian television regularly? Continuing on the article, Trump and DeSantis, the two leading fascists for the GOP nominee in 2024, cannot bring themselves to condemn Putin, at least without tiptoeing and hedging. Yes, fascists, the article says. The U.S. Holocaust Museum has a list of early warning signs of fascism. Warning bells should be going off across America because as easily as it is to see these in full-blown horror as Russia carries out a terror campaign in Ukraine, we are lying to ourselves if we pretend these early signs are not all around us here at home. Try these on the GOP and see if they don't fit pretty darn well. Disdain for human rights. Identification of enemies as a unifying cause. Rampant sexism. Controlled mass media. Corporate power protection. Disdain for intellectuals and the arts. Obsession with crime and punishment. Rampant cronyism and corruption. And fraudulent elections. The GOP hasn't been able to come up with a policy platform since 2016 because it would look a lot like this. And again, those things I just read you from this article, Resolute Square, that comes from the National Holocaust Museum in Washington, D.C., as early signs of fascism. And yes, that's true. The Republican Party has not come up with a policy platform since 2016. They're too afraid. We talked about this last hour. We're seeing it right here in Wisconsin. Paul Ryan, former Speaker of the House, Republican from Wisconsin, said this weekend on WISN that he has no interest in being at the Republican National Convention next year in Milwaukee if Donald Trump is the nominee. He knows. Chairman of the State Republican Party, Brian Schemming, he knows. Haven't answered my text, my tweet yet, saying, hey, are you with Paul Ryan or are you with Trump, who went after Paul Ryan last night and called him a loser? Said he couldn't be elected dog catcher. That he's ruining Fox. Donald Trump went after Paul Ryan. Republican Party Wisconsin won't answer. Who are you with, Trump or Paul Ryan? The Republican Party, National Republican Party, hasn't had a platform since 2016 because they're too embarrassed by it. They know that if the platform was put out, it would look a lot like the Holocaust Museum's list of early warning signs of fascism. Let's go to the phones. Tom, you are on the air. Tom from Richland County. Appreciate you calling in, my friend. How are you today?
Hey, Todd. I can agree with 98% of what you're saying, and I'm actually an anti-war kind of activist. I've been really siding with the Ukrainians, and I watch videos about it all day, and it's incredible stuff. But I want to mention that the Democrats aren't necessarily the answer the way they've been acting, only because when Clinton was in charge and had Madeleine Albright as the Secretary of State, she was interviewed and said that the 500,000 Iraqi children that died between the two wars we think about with the no-fly zones and the sanctions were worth it for global stability. And so our country, you know, we have this gigantic, massive footprint that's 800 bases, and we have like the equivalent military spending of 20 other nations, the next 20 nations. And we're part of this problem. And as much as I agree with the fascism is a major problem in this country, the corporate version of the military-industrial complex is a huge problem, too. So power to all the people fighting against tyranny, but we got to do some of that at home in a nonviolent way, too.
I appreciate the call, Tom, and I think you raise a valid point. Look, always good to bring up questions. Always get, and you know, hindsight is always 20/20 as well. And I'm not saying there haven't been mistakes made by everyone from the CIA to the military to politicians in the past, both Republicans and Democrats. But, you know, I'm kind of a, you know, you have to know history, as our friend Matt Flynn likes to say, but I also like to look at the present. And I just see, I think what's happening with Ukraine right now, the unabashed attack on Ukraine by Putin. If people think that he's going to stop there, I just think they're sorely mistaken. And this has implications for democracy around the world and thus at home. So it's like, where do you let it lie and not stand up to it? That's my point.
No, I totally agree on self-defense. But when you think about the first Iraq war, we told Saddam Hussein that we didn't have an issue with him being involved in Kuwait. And then after he invaded, we did all that damage, 100,000 or more Iraqi soldiers killed, and then, like I say, 500,000 kids. And then the second Iraq war wasn't about the 9/11, it was all just made up. So we do the same thing, and we've gone to Grenada and Panama and other places where police might have had something to say, but we took the military instead. So anyway, I'm just concerned that we don't all of a sudden paint everybody else as being lily white, because we're not.
No,
thanks for your show. I really appreciate your work and doing all this stuff, Todd.
I appreciate you, Tom. Thanks for calling in. Always good to have other perspectives. We welcome them. And welcome Tom's call. You can call in as well. Area code 715-388-7155. Again, area code 715-388-7155. Try that again, Todd. Area code 715-388-7155. There we go. That's the number to call. Toll free. Mr. Zomers will take your call. Let me know when you're on the line, and we'll get you on here as soon as we can. One more time, 715-388-7155. Pardon me. I think Tom brings up a great point. The United States isn't always lily white. Mistakes have been made. Sometimes in military conflicts, you know, decisions have to be made. And I haven't been there yet. I really want to go. I've been to Dallas, but I really want to go to George W. Bush's Presidential Library Museum, because one of the, I believe it's an ongoing display that he has set up, is called Decision Points. And I think this is really cool that he sets up these different venues in his museum, or not him himself, but he authorized it and people that built this did. And they take kind of vignettes. And one of these is the Iraq War. And saying, hey, here's what I was being told. Here's the information that I had. And here's the decision that I made. What would you have done? And he doesn't say there's a right or a wrong answer. And he leaves it open that, hey, you know what? Maybe I didn't make the right decision. But based on the information that I had, here's the decision I made. I think that's cool. That a former president has the courage to say, you know what, I did the best job I could of the information I had, but I'm not necessarily saying that I had it all right. No president can ever say they had it all right. Doesn't matter who you are, Republican or Democrat. But I think if you look at today, I think it's pretty easy to see where fascism is raising its ugly head. And if we haven't learned anything from history, you have to nip fascism in the bud or it creeps into your community really, really quick. As Matt Flynn says, fascism creeps in on little cat's feet. We're back after this. Stay with us. This is the Todd Allball Show, and this is the Civic Media Radio Network. Welcome back to the Todd Allball Show. It is now 10:50 on the Civic Media Radio Network. It is 10 minutes before the hour of 11 o'clock at 11. Make sure you keep it right here. Tune in to our friend Kristen Bryan, Jay and Matt Nair, as they will have the great show, As Goes Wisconsin, at the top of the hour. You're not going to want to miss it. They will fill you in on happenings of the weekend. Always great to hear what's been going on in Kristen and Jane's life, and then great to have them bring us information, news, and also just a chance to laugh a little bit at life, to make yourself feel good. If you want, here's the bottom line. If you want to be informed and feel good about life, tune into As Goes Wisconsin at the top of the hour with Kristen Bry and Jane Matnier. Fantastic, folks. You're not going to want to miss it. And then, as we said, at 2 o'clock, if you listen to us on WXCO, Bull Falls Radio, the Chad Holmes Show on the Wausau Radio. Chad Holmes Show, hosted by the great Chad Holmes, will inform you of all things happening around the state, high school sports, but just news, entertainment, politics. Has all from Central Wisconsin from 2 until 4. Otherwise, across the rest of the Civic Media Radio Network at 2 o'clock, it is the Dueling Tangents program with Luke and Brian. They'll inform you and keep you up to breast on all the political news, also some sports news. Probably talk about the Bucks a little bit. Breaking news today on ESPN. Milwaukee Bucks, Mark Lazary selling his share for $3.5 billion today. The Milwaukee Bucks, I'm sure they'll have something to say about that on Dueling Tangents. And then at 3 o'clock, 3:06, open to the mic. Lines are open. You're not woke if you don't know history. It's Matt Flynn Direct. Great program. Not going to want to miss it. It makes me just happy to hear it each and every day that I can. Matt Flynn Direct, taking all callers, all subjects, and keeping you informed. Matt Flynn Direct. At 4 o'clock then, it is the Devil's Advocates radio program, flagship show with Crudy and Dom. It's never personal, just politics. Devil's Advocate from 4 until 6. At 6 o'clock then, Native Roots, a perspective about politics, current events, from the Native American perspective. And then later on, it's the Rick Smith Show, right here, nationally, on the Civic Media Radio Network. So a great lineup of programs once again today. Want to use our last few minutes of this show to finish up this article by Resolute Square, an offshoot of the Lincoln Project, talking about on the one-year anniversary of the Russian invasion of Ukraine, what it means not just to Ukraine, but to the world, Eastern Europe, but European countries, including NATO, and also the United States. And before the break, talking in the Resolute Square article, this is tough, right? There's no mincing words here. But somebody has to say this, you understand? Somebody has to not sugarcoat it to get through to people. Because this is real. And the worst time to talk about these things is after it's happened. Well, why didn't somebody tell me this? Well, I never heard this anywhere. Why weren't people talking about this? So that's why we're here, to pursue the truth, wherever it may lead. This article, Resolute Square, talking about the list at the U.S. Holocaust Museum in Washington, D.C., the early warning signs of fascism, listing those off. And many of them you would find, and again, I don't want to paint with a totally broad picture. I don't mean that everybody who's voted Republican or anybody who, is a Trump supporter believes in all of this. I'm saying that the Trumpism, Republican leaders believe in many of these things, that are early warning signs of fascism. And we pointed out before the break that the Republican Party has not had a national platform since 2016. In large part because they're embarrassed if they put a platform out there. It would look a lot like a fascist. Continuing on this article, Resolute Square, and by the way, if you want to call in, welcome your calls. Area code 715-388-7155. Area code 715-388-7155. The article continues, as we reach the grim one-year mark of the Russian occupation of Ukraine that began on February 24th, 2022, we would do well to reflect on the imperative of full victory for Ukraine. They are fighting for their survival. They are also fighting for the survival of democracy within and outside their borders, because even a compromise with Putin to end the bloodshed would embolden him. A compromise would mean handing people living in Ukraine to the country that has been murdering their fellow citizens for the past year. The problem is not with Putin's GOP boosters of compromise here in the U.S. fail to understand that. Try that again, John. The problem is not that Putin's GOP boosters of compromise here in the U.S. fail to understand that. It's that they fully understand and either don't care or they share his fascist goals and values. That's a great point. That many in the GOP either, we talked about this lead off the show, right? Or one of the stories about the incompetence that the Republican leaders, Jim Jordan, chair of the House Oversight Committee, and 21 other Republicans, including Wisconsin's own Glenn Grothman, signed a letter to Transportation Secretary Pete Buttigieg, asking him to do something about the National Transportation Safety Board, the NTSB, in Ohio due to the train wreck, not knowing or understanding, apparently, that the NTSB is not part of the U.S. Department of Transportation. So here this article pointing out that either the problem is Republicans don't understand what Putin's doing in Ukraine or what a compromise would mean, or that they do understand and they just don't care. That perhaps they share his goals. On with the article, all the manufactured hate, discrimination, vilification and of immigrants and the LGBTQ plus community, hyper-masculinity, misogyny, racism, and Christo-fascism of the American rights media machine mirrors the campaign of hate and dehumanization of the Russian that the Russian people were fed a steady diet of leading up to the Ukraine invasion. It's the same stuff. It's the same playbook that's happened in Russia. Much of it happening here in the United States. Russia's reason was obvious. Their leader, who is who he is, Vladimir Putin, is a war criminal, leading a terrorist state that is perpetuating crimes against humanity in a genocide against the people of Ukraine. The GOP and their media propagandists on the right have reasons of their own for spreading similar hate and fear. They are as simple as they are vile. Power and greed. Power and greed. And that's something to keep in mind as you watch what's unfolding in Ukraine. And that is why Ukraine must be supported. They must be victorious. And the United States must remain vigilant in helping them. Glad to have you along on the show today. Thanks to Aaron Zommers, as always, our producer and engineer. Thanks to our callers this morning. We appreciate you. We'll be back with more tomorrow. Until then, this is the Todd Allball Show in Civic Media, reminding you, keep banging on your drum.